Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me for this post-game reaction pod is Shay Dixon. Shay, it was a pretty quick game. I think it was under 3 hours. I mean, pretty impressive in that regard. Your mic is muted already. We can't. Literally,
I'm trying not to have background noise.
Less than 30 seconds into the podcast, you're already muted yourself.
I try not to have background noise, so I mute it, and then I forget that I've done that. I think the game kicked at 6:40, and I looked at you at 7:40, and the band was on the field to do the halftime show. I was like, bro, that just went 1 hour. So the first half flew by. There might have been a penalty or two, but it was like, I think New Mexico was like 4 or 5 completing it, and LSU had only had like 2 incompletions, so flew by. No complaints there. Probably the fastest game we've covered in the 2 years you've been here.
Definitely. My 2 years, it's definitely the fastest game. And we knew coming into New Mexico would run the ball a ton, and I projected LSU to end the – I mean, I projected LSU to win 34-3. I did not think New Mexico was going to score the ball at all. At any rate, I thought maybe they'd get a field goal, though, just because you know how football is. But they end up shutting them out. And it's something I thought could happen just because New Mexico's offense is that limited and it's that one-dimensional to a degree, that I thought LSU's defense – and I think LSU's defense is that good, which I'll get into more later.
Okay, wait. So let's revisit the predictions. Billy, you're out. Billy can't
Billy
defend himself.
17 points.
Billy's not here, but Billy went 41-17. The final score is 38-0. Billy's out.
Gone.
Whose final score was closer? Your 34-3 or my 38-6?
I should have gone 34-0. I really should have. I was in my head.
You preached all week New Mexico should never score a single point.
I literally was looking at the over-under on FanDuel for New Mexico was 6.5, and it was plus value, and I didn't bet it, but I was like, yo, man, I should just pull the trigger on that. That's crazy because I just didn't see it. But then in the back of my head, I had Garrett Nussmeier throwing the ball to Southern and giving them a touchdown in the back of my head playing, and, you know, I was just scared of a touchdown. But, yeah, I didn't think New Mexico would score the ball at all, and they didn't. I mean, you wrapped it up in your in your recap, I'm in my recap and everything. New Mexico ends the game with 2 first downs. I mean, it was literally just a completely just shut down performance from LSU's defense. So, but to answer your question, who's was closer? For you to guess a score correct at 38, I would probably have to give it to you. 38 points for LSU. I'll tip
my exact score predictions. Have had a rough week, let's be real. After my Thursday night football bad beat of all time, where I guessed the correct score that went awry in the final seconds, yeah. I didn't have any money on this one, though.
I'll give that
38-6. All right, let's start D. We can roll right through this reaction pod. Okay, let's treat this like the game. They rolled right through it. 38-0, you already said it. 2 first downs. I haven't covered a game, maybe ever, where the other team only got 2 first downs. And 88 total yards, 1 for 10 on third downs. Here's how I summed it up. New Mexico had the ball 10 times. One of the times they just kneeled it out slash let the clock run out before half. It was like right when they got the ball back and there wasn't much time left, so they just let it go. So really they had 9 possessions. They punted on all 9 of them, and they went 3 and out on 7 of the 9 possessions. 88 total yards. It's about as dominant of a defensive performance. I don't care who it is. They didn't do that to Southern. Southern was chunking off some long plays. So this was a massive defensive showing. Hat tip to Matt House coming off a big game for the defense against State. I mean, they were really sharp against State, and then pitching this shutout in dominant fashion. Feeling good about them going into an Auburn offense that is rather one-dimensional in terms of what they can do and trying to move the chains. So I really, really like where the defense is at right now. And I guess we can hat tip a few guys. Jarrett Bernard Converse got the game ball because he went from I'm a corner to, hey, we need you at safety now because Major Burns is out 3 to 6 weeks with, Kelly said a neck injury, but he said, I hate saying neck injury. The doctors cleared it, meaning it doesn't need surgery is how I took that. Yeah. But he said it just needs time to heal. So he said it could be 3 weeks, could be a month. I'm not sure. But they get Joe Fusha back, the Arkansas safety who's played a ton of SEC football. He was having to sit the first four games. So Burns out, Fusha in. Jay Ward wasn't out there for this game, but typically he'll be out there, I guess. Yeah. Did they say what Ward's injury was or what's going on there?
No, but I think he's kind of – after that last game where he wasn't on a lot of plays and everything, I'm assuming it was kind of a rest similar type thing.
Same with BJ Ojulari.
Yeah.
So you didn't have those two. You didn't have Major Burns. You obviously don't have Mason Smith. Essentially 3 to 4 starters you were without, and you still did that on defense. Now, back to safety for a second. Major Burns is gone for a month maybe. You bring Joe Fusha in. One of the backups would have been Matthew Langlois. He is – apparently suffered a pretty bad knee injury to where he's on a massive knee brace and crutches at the game. Yeah. So he's not going to be available. It'll be very, I mean, we'll see if they keep Bernard Converse kind of in that mix, but it seems like we're trending towards seeing some Joe Fusha and Greg Brooks back there together at safety, the pair of Arkansas transfers. I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems to be trending that way.
I think so. I think they go with Fusha because it's not like Fusha's been out and hasn't been practicing. You know,
he wasn't injured. No.
He was there throughout fall camp. Throughout fall camp, he was in, you know, at the safety spot, at running with the twos. And when he was running with the twos initially, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird with Major Burns as the ones. But then obviously we find out that his whole situation, so it makes sense. But I think he's ready to step in and play right away. I don't think we see Jarrick Bernard Converse start at safety again, you know, barring injury. So I think they'll be fine. But like you said, it was big for Bernard to be able to step in for this one game. And I thought he looked actually really good. He was crashing down the way a safety does. And there wasn't much in the way of passing that he had to protect against. So, you know, it wasn't a very tough offense to face, but he did his job. And they, like you said, they didn't start a nickel. They started Harold Perkins there, sending like a straight 4-3 type look and just really shut down everything New Mexico did. But yeah, you summarized everything well. BJ Savion Jones started for BJ Ojulari. I thought Savion was fine. I don't think you'll find anybody on the defense that played poorly. I thought Greg Brooks was active. Everybody was active. So
no, everyone tackled well. Yeah, it was great game by the defense.
My thing is, and I guess before we move on is, This is the performance of a defense that I think is legitimately top five in the SEC. Like, I was running through the top five SEC defenses last night, and I was like, okay, you go Georgia, Bama, A&M probably as a three, as your top three. And then you're looking at LSU maybe against like a Kentucky defense or, you know, Mississippi State defense I still think is good, but it's like, that's the range, I think, that 4 to 6 range where you could put LSU in at 4, you could put them at 5. I think their defense is better than Mississippi State's. So if we're looking at a top 5, potentially top 4 defense in the SEC, and I don't want to come off as like, you know, recency bias, but they did it in the Mississippi State game, and I think they did it even in the Florida State game where, I mean, if you go back and watch that game, Jordan Travis was superhuman at times making those throws. Like, I thought LSU's defense was actually pretty damn good in that game. And obviously, late in the game, they got the stops necessary, which showed. But even when Florida State was scoring, Jordan Travis was making some crazy throws. So I think they've been really good the entire season. And I am very confident in saying that they're a top 5 defense at the very least in the SEC.
Yeah, and think of Florida State. That was the first time from coordinator to coach to players, half of which are transfers, certainly in the defensive backfield, had played together at all. So like you would expect them to like look bad and it be forgivable because it's like, well, you know, they've never played together. Like the defense buckled into that game. So
yeah, one of the touchdowns was that reverse pass, which was a bust. So like,
right,
yeah,
a trick play got him there, one touchdown.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I think this defense is very, very legit, and I will be predicting accordingly from now on. I won't be hedging my picks.
Yes, a salute to the D. All right. How do we transit? Well, let's transition to special teams real quick before we get to offense. Special teams always has a place here.
Yes.
I believe in your post-game instant reactions, you refer to special teams as meh.
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 It is what it is. You know,
sums it up?
Yeah. The penalties continue to stack up. I think three punt returns had penalties attached to them. So two of them from Colby Fields, one of them from I think it was LaTerrence Welsh. It was number 27, I believe. I didn't look on the field. It was late in the game. But, yeah, three of them. One of them takes
a touchdown off the board.
Exactly. So one of them brings back a Jack Besh punt return, which was very impressive. And I think we've solved the punt returning aspect of this team. So that's something comforting because from a potency standpoint, Jack Besh is just infinitely more dangerous as a punt returner than Gregory Clayton. Like Gregory Clayton, when he gets the ball, he's just hoping to God that he catches the ball, which he does a good job of. He catches the ball. And then by that point, he's just not worried about returning it. Jack Besh is like, there could be a guy coming down 8 yards away. Yeah, and he will catch that thing and then try to make a move off of it. And so
he's also tougher to bring down. You know, if you're coming full speed and then you got to slow up a bit to see if they catch it, and then you see that he's returning it, he's a little bit tougher to bring down. You can't just like put an arm on him and tackle him. Like we saw it. So he caught it, immediately had a guy on him, and he just shrugged him off. I mean, he's that big physical type receiver that can do that. So, and to be fair to, I guess, to Colby Fields or to the special teams unit, we'll see. Brian Kelly did take some issue with the flag bringing back the punt because he said, if you're going to call that a blindside block, then don't do punt. We shouldn't even have punt returns in football. He said, if you can't make that block on a punt return, then we shouldn't even have them. I'm not far off. I disagree. I don't disagree. With him.
It didn't feel necessary at the time with
Besh. It didn't.
Gone. It felt like he was going to be gone regardless. Like that guy wasn't catching. So that was I think that's what a lot of people's problems are whenever they see holding penalties or stuff like that on kick returns, punt returns that are going to be gone. It's just like, you don't need that in that place. So
no, it was like, it's like stayed a week ago when they nearly housed when it got called back on a flag. And it's someone who's holding like on the other side of the field. It's like, what are you even doing, dude?
So that's the whole thing. And then there was a missed field goal as well.
There was a missed field goal. Absolutely. I don't know. And then there was a kick out of bounds on the kickoff. And then, not great. Hey, we got spoiled by Cade York and Cole Tracy. And I understand all that, but you still expect things to be a little bit more crisp than this. But good to see Besh. Besh, we asked him after the game. We were standing there with him kind of after media had kind of cleared out a bit when I was talking to him about the punt returner thing. And me and you joked about this because Brian Kelly, when we were like, well, when did Greg Clayton start returning punts? He's like, oh, he'd been doing that all fall camp, even though we had been out there and never seen Greg Clayton. Well, we'd been out there and never seen Jack Besh doing it. So when we asked Besh, it was like, yo, when did you start kind of working on punt returns? He's like, Tuesday. I was like, well, how did that work out? He's like, well, I mean, they came up to me and said, hey, would you be interested in maybe returning some punts? And I think, you know, a Jack Besh response is like, hell yeah, or something like that. And he said he had done it in high school already. And, you know, Besh, I mean, Besh had entered this week with two targets, and despite playing in all three games, and he led the team in receptions a year ago, receiving yards at least, when Boutte got hurt. He was kind of the guy who ended up with the highest number there. All he wants to do is get involved, and you saw that. So I thought he looked great on special teams. I would definitely start him there versus Auburn. I would be a little surprised if they didn't. And then immediately got involved in the receiving game. I mean, he caught and he got the very first target from Jaden Daniels. They made a very clear emphasis to get after, you know, working Jack Besh in this game, especially with Butte out, the birth of his first child. He'll be back for the Auburn game. But it was evident they wanted to work him in quickly. And once again, and we've seen this, Matty B, it's a pretty consistent theme. 10 different players caught a pass. So, like, every game, it seems you're going to have the neighbors, the Butte, Jenkins, Brian Thomas, often Mason Taylor, they're all going to end up with like 4 to 7 catches a game. And every one of them is going to be in that range. And I'll pair this in with running backs. The running backs now with John Emery back are also very clearly on this heavy rotation where Frank Wilson's, you know, giving 8 touches, 8 touches, 9 touches, 9 touches, 11 touches, you know, like between Jaden Daniels and the 4 running backs. So yeah. I was wrong. I thought we'd have a season where John Emery got back and was carrying it 20 times a game. Like, that's not going to happen now. That's just not how they're operating. Unless things change over time, it seems to me that whether it's at receiver or whether it's at running back, they don't mind evenly distributing the ball, even when you've got a Butte or you've got a Neighbors or you've got an Emery. It seems the game plan to me is they like to have a pretty healthy rotation here.
Yeah, and I think that's obviously what you want as a coaching staff. The thing, and when talking about the receivers and the running backs, there's just a difference in me in like quality at times. Like the receivers are obviously on a different level than the running backs. And so, yeah, you're rotating them, but I think from the running back perspective is that we hoped John Emery would be, you know, would come back and be that guy, which was probably a little optimistic of us. But still, we would have liked to see that. So even he didn't do that. So now it's a lot of Armani Goodwin. I think Armani Goodwin at this point is probably running back one. Like,
well, he started. So
yeah, for a lack of a better word, like he's probably the starter. How much that means, I don't know. But because Josh Williams will get a lot of run in different situations, whether it's pass protection or as a receiver. And then John Emery will get his carries too. I don't think Noah Cain getting 11 carries for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns really signifies that he's back. But, you know, it's nice to have.
You like to see it. Yeah. But all that happened. Goodwin went down in the second half. Cain immediately comes in for his first reps, and they kind of just let him go the rest of the way. So, you know, it wasn't like he had the, as you noted, it wasn't like those 11 touches came spread across the game. He was the guy that went in at the end. But that's the fourth guy, and they'll give him some run. And he's proven he can find the end zone. He's gotten into the end zone a few times now. 2 last night. Goodwin was in twice last night. Quick thought on injuries, because I'm sure people are kind of wondering. Goodwin looked like he may have tweaked his hamstring. That's when he came out. But then he was in the medical tent for a while. They were working on him. He got his helmet back, but it was evident he was not going back into the game. It was already like 28-0 or whatever it might have been. But it wasn't like he was walking all gingerly. I mean, he looked fine after the game. So I'm sure he'll have a very light week and then, you know, be available for Auburn. We were very convinced. Well, we can figure that out this week. It looked like Brian Thomas popped his shoulder out. I mean, he was on a block, tries to get off the block. The guy kind of pulls back and he immediately lets go and grabs his shoulder and goes down. And then we saw him on the sidelines and you're like, they're popping it back in right there. And we saw the medical team working on him. And after about a minute, they're like, okay, let's get into the tent. And they were in the tent for a while. Then they give him, he comes out of the tent and Jaden Daniels goes into it. But he comes out of the tent, gets his helmet back. And next thing you know, we look up and he's taking a ball 70 something yards for a touchdown. So he was fine, or however long that touchdown was, 57
yards. Yeah.
So big, and boy, when he gets into space, I mean, good night. He is just a big kid who is tough to bring down. But good to see him back out there. And then your boy, let's see, Jaden.
We have to talk quarterback.
Yeah, Jaden got tackled, went to the ground. People thought, oh, maybe he's got a concussion. He went to the medical tent. They took his helmet. Then they gave him his helmet back, and he like sprinted back out there. This was the drive Nussmeier went in, but Kelly kind of was like, no, and then Nussmeier scores, and at that point it goes from 17-24-0, and it's kind of like, okay, you don't need to play anymore. But then Brian Kelly said after the game, it was like a strain in his back, or what was it? It was
Yeah, it was
something.
Yeah, he said that.
It wasn't related to his head at all. And he said he just strained something. He got immediately cleared, but we didn't feel like putting him back in. So it seems everyone, like those three guys who got hurt kind of back to back to back, are all fine. I mean, Brian Thomas went back in. Goodwin looked okay. And Daniels was more than ready to go back in. So
yeah. Malik you're good came to go out there to play as well.
That's right. But we didn't hear anything in terms of
him
being banged up. I think he'll be fine. Daniels, Nussmeier, thoughts? I mean, obviously, they both played great. But Daniels, 24 of 29, 279. No touchdowns. The touchdowns they got when he was in, they were just running the football. But 83% completion percentage, which is another awesome game for him. I'll sum it up like I do every game. Can you put on the film and say, oh, man, you missed this guy and this guy and this guy? Like, sure, but you're not going to do that too many times because he only had 5 incomplete passes. Well, then you say, well, yeah, he completed this dump off, but he should have gone down. Okay, but again, he's an 80% passer right now. He doesn't turn the ball over and can get it done with his feet. Like, if he just continues to develop week to week, he'll be like, I'm loving what I'm seeing. I just don't get any LSU fan right now. I feel like LSU fans are just waiting for him to waiting for him to fail to be like, told you, he's not the guy. What else do you want? He's playing light years better than he did at Arizona State. So I've loved what I've seen from Daniels. I don't really care if he takes off a little too soon sometimes. You pointed this out on the podcast, the preview pod, and we're dead accurate. New Mexico is never going to pressure LSU's offensive line. Like, LSU's O-line should be able to handle that. Because of that, it was going to look like the Southern game. He wasn't going to go run everywhere. They were going to try to make him sit back and pass. He did. He had good numbers, 3 for 280. I don't know. Am I wrong here?
No. I think you're right. I mean, heck, 280 yards on 29 pass attempts, you're looking at almost 10 yards an attempt at that point. And if you just look at it from that perspective, it definitely signifies more than dump offs for the most part. I mean, I was happy to see the Chris Hilton play. I was happy to see him bomb it to Chris Hilton and find him on that deep post route. And I was like, okay, that's something I would love to see a little bit more of. Obviously, defense
Hilton's
dictates,
got that speed.
Oh, Hilton's so fast. He's just insane. But you know, you have that type of weapon. You have that across the board, really. I would love to see a couple more deep shots throughout the game. And they didn't need them against New Mexico. I'm not saying they did. But, you know, as they get into SEC play, maybe to start changing it up a little bit more, I would expect them to take a couple more deep shots, whether that's to Boutte, whether that's to whoever else, Hilton, Thomas, Neighbors, whoever. I would like to see that, but I don't think he was – definitely wasn't a super conservative game from Jaden Daniels. I thought he threw the ball well. And anytime you throw the ball 29 times, and I don't think he had – a turnover worthy play, like one that I was like, oh, he should have been picked. Oh, that was dangerous. No, he hasn't had one of those the entire season. I saw a stat.
Yeah, I saw you reference that. That's crazy.
I referenced that in a thread on our board. It's like he hasn't had a single turnover worthy play the entire season. Like that is unheard of 4 games into the year. I mean, so I think he's been
especially
great.
When you're up on some of these teams where you're like, eh, I mean, who really cares? I'm just going to try to make something happen.
Yeah, or even when
he's
you're
never
behind,
done that.
When you're behind against Mississippi State and Florida State, and you have to try to maybe force some things here or there. A lot of quarterbacks, that's when they get their interceptions too, is when they're trying to come from behind. And he's just never thrown a ball where you're like, oh, that was dangerous. Oh, that should have been picked. Like, yeah, sure, he's had some inaccuracies, but from a standpoint of making the throws or reading the defense and not putting the ball in harm's way, I can't ask for anything more. So he gives this offense a chance.
The keys are here, and the Nuss bus is cranked back up, right?
We're back.
We're back, baby.
Not to start.
Matty B's boy.
Different standards now going into this era of the Nuss bus. You know, we're not looking to start, but, hey, come aboard if you want to have some fun and some safe a safe
responsible
trip
fun.
Responsible fun. There you go. With no more of
I don't think they have seat belts on buses, at least not the old school ones that I rode on, the old school buses. So
there is some
inherent risk involved in getting on the Nuss bus. You will not have a seat belt.
Yeah, but this Nuss bus, this NUS bus has those little stop signs on the side of them, you know, and then like all the lights are on and everything new. So it's a different bus. The last NUS bus was a party bus, you know, those party buses that used to go to New Orleans.
Everyone was having a blast.
This one's a lot more of a school bus type one. We're going to 9 for 10, 135 yards, one touchdown, no picks. Clean.
Looked calm. The only thing, like, it was Nussmeier quit going out there and trying to play hero ball. Like, sit there, play within the offense, you'll be fine. And it was bang, bang, bang. Like, good decision making, going through his reads. Looked very – and – It was 17-0. Like when Daniels went down, like he popped right into a game and let him right down the field. So, you know, it wasn't like he'd been on the sidelines warming up and they're like, hey, in two more drives, you're going into the game. It was good to see. I thought he played very well. 9 of 10 is a great line, 90% completion, going well over 100, getting the TD. So, what, the TD was to Brian Thomas on that play?
Yeah, it wasn't really. I tried to joke in the thread. I said, wow, Garrett Nussmeier, 57-yard pass to Brian Thomas. But I don't think anybody
probably could. Like, what, like a 10-yard pass and then Brian Thomas did
if
the rest?
If that. It was like just a comeback route and then he just popped it the whole way. Regardless, I won't, you know, obviously I'll be wrong plenty of times throughout my life. And saying Garrett Nussmeier was going to start was wrong. But I was not wrong about his arm. The dude can throw the freaking ball, man. Like no those doubt. out breaking routes or the hitch to the outside, even to Brian Thomas. I mean, his arm is just – it's there. It is elite. So, you know, it's good to see him start to pair that arm with a little bit of common sense playmaking.
100%. And you this is why you feel good about the NUS bus that, as you said, has all of the bells and whistles on it. To be a very safe ride. If you go to, like last night happened, like if Jaden Daniels goes down in an SEC game and they're like, hey man, we can't put you back out there tonight, right? Like you need the Nussmeier that you saw last night, not the Nussmeier that came out on Southern or anything even remotely close to that. You need this Nuss, I'm coming in, I'm going to operate within the offense and we'll hopefully not have a major drop-off in terms of what I can do with my arm. Yeah. So is there an element of Daniels with his legs that Nussmeier doesn't have? Sure, 100%. There's also an element with the arm, I would think, that Daniels doesn't always have. And that's just kind of who they are as quarterbacks. I and by no means think Nussmeier should start, but I do feel better that if something were to ever happen to Daniels, that Nussmeier at least has a game under his belt now where he understands if I play this type of way, the results will be good. If I play this type of way, the results will be bad. And if he can differentiate that when he gets put into a game, they'll be fine. But offensively as a whole, 633 yards, Matty B.
Yeah,
you'll nothing, take that.
Yeah, no complaints. I the New Mexico defense obviously gave him a little bit of trouble at times, but there was the touchdown that was called back because of a pass interference. You know, there was the missed field goal where they should have probably put points on the board as well. So they could have had more than 17 points into the third quarter, but you know, it's not a bad New Mexico defense, I don't think.
Yeah, no, of course not. Rocky Gonzalez.
I don't remember his name.
Rocky Long Gonzalez is head coach. Rocky Long obviously was at San Diego State. Then he came back and he's been a really well-respected D coordinator for a long time. So we knew that, like, it's been 3 years. Only one team in the past 3 years has scored. I wrote about this in the preview, or maybe we talked about it, has scored 40 points or more on New Mexico. And it was like Air Force 2 years ago or something like that. So like that's 20, 30 something games. LSU got to 38, but they're a scrappy D. Like this was a good offensive performance. I'll tell you this, Rocky Long old school style teaches them, you know, the old play through the whistle thing. They're playing through the whistle, no doubt. This is a team that they everybody is getting hit a little bit after the whistle to where you're teetering on, was that dirty? To these guys are really kind of getting after it. So I could see why New Mexico doesn't allow people to just go out and drop 70 on them. Like they played sound. tackled well at times. I just thought LSU was efficient.
They're the type of defense that will fight you before you score 40 points on them.
100%. Guys are going to get kicked out before you're getting 40 points.
They would rather leave the field than you score 50 points on them. That is not happening. But yeah, I don't think we have anything else. Last thing I'll say on the Nussmeier thing is those two plays against Southern are obviously inexcusable and everything, but they do feel like those two plays are what everybody's judging him off of. And I think even if you go back to the Southern game outside of those two possessions, I thought he was fine. You know, today he was fine. I think he is a fine quarterback. So that can put a bow on that. Did we hit anybody else that we didn't hit on that had a good game?
Harold Perkins led the team in tackles. He got a start. That was good for him as a true freshman, obviously. The O-line was the exact same for the second week in a row. So Campbell and Emory Jones. Playing the two tackle spots is true. Seven Banks made his debut, and it was on special teams and corner. And with Bernard Converse having to go to safety, he played even a little bit more corner than they probably anticipated. So at least they've got him back. As Matthew already said, there was nobody got tested in the passing game here. They threw it seven times. So wasn't like you got to see a ton there. I'd say on the O-line, it was the first time that they've gone with the same starters in back-to-back weeks this year, but Anthony Bradford started at right guard the first two games. Then he was suspended for a game, and Miles Frazier started at right guard. And then Frazier started again last night, but it wasn't in like two or three series into the game, Bradford was in, and then Frazier was in, and then Bradford. So that right guard spot, I would still say, seems to have some competition to it, but at least they're starting to kind of whittle things down and get a good group of who they feel is their top guys on the O-line. I don't think we missed too much beyond that.
You already mentioned Harold Perkins, but three other freshmen recorded some tackles. LaTerrence Welsh, DeMario Tolan, and Quincy Wiggins all recorded tackles. So shout out to them. 2022 class coming in clutch here.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did you say – you said Welsh? Yes. You said Tolan.
Welsh, Tolan, Wiggins.
Wiggins.
Yeah.
I see them all there at the bottom. So, yeah, good to see them out there. Shout out my man Weeks again. Another solid performance from him as a backup linebacker. I think we covered about everything there. 38-0 is what it is. Now they play Auburn. I'll say this to set us up for Auburn week here. Auburn stinks. And anyone who, like, if Auburn fans are listening, they would say, we don't stink. We suck and we're awful. They are bad, bad. But I said this for the year, and a lot of people knew this. This is going to be the easiest chance at an SEC win they have. They've already got one over State. State is infinitely better than Auburn is. Auburn has nothing really beyond Tank Bigsby. We don't even know if TJ Finley will play. Calzada's out. They were down to Robbie Ashford and some other quarterbacks that I've never even heard of. Coy Moore was their leading receiver. They don't play all that great defense. Like, this is not a good team. But I will say this as we go off the pod. LSU fans should be happy that Auburn won. Why is that? Had Auburn lost to Missouri, they would have fired Harsin today.
Yes.
Or Monday. Like, he's – and if LSU beats them, he might get fired next Saturday or Sunday or whenever it is. So, I wouldn't have – if I'm LSU, I do not want to walk into a team that – the fans got what they wanted. Harsin got fired. You know, some popular coach on staff gets promoted to interim. The team's all juiced. You've got LSU coming. And then they've got a reason to be up for the game. I think you don't want them to have that kind of lifeline given to them of, oh, look, guys, like, spark some change here. Instead, it's what appears to be another week of Harsin. He's a dead man walking. Wild things happen on the plains every time LSU goes there. I mean, this was one of those series where the road team was winning the game, or like something wild has happened. It seemed to you like every time, or it was like Auburn hadn't won in Baton Rouge in however long, and LSU hadn't won there in however long, and then they had that field goal with Cole Tracy.
I remember
that's what it was.
When I first started here and we did our season predictions, and obviously I was like brand new at the time, I predicted Auburn to beat them last year. And I remember just the comments flooding in, being like, Auburn hasn't beaten LSU in Death Valley or in Baton Rouge in however many years since, like,
it was like 20 some years.
Yeah, however long it was a long time. And I was like, okay. I also predicted them to go 9-3 last year. And
Bo Nix the magician.
there you go.
Got it
But
done. So yeah, I think if you're an LSU fan, you're very, you know already going to Auburn brings with it insane storylines that somehow always burn you, even if you've got the better team. You wanted no part of an interim Brian Harsin got fired, let's celebrate type of week here. This is just going to be another week where Auburn has to sit there answering questions about the future of the coach, the future of the program, and the band-aid has not been ripped off yet. So I would consider that to be a win. I know LSU fans love seeing Auburn lose, but you wanted them to come away with that Missouri game, which, if anyone watched the Missouri Auburn game, I apologize. It was some of the worst football I've ever witnessed. I mean,
I only watched the
bad,
overtime.
bad, bad.
I watched the
Well,
overtime.
good for you.
That was it. I was watching Clemson Wake Forest for the most part. Good football.
So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what that line's at later in the week, but this Auburn will
Six and a half
be.
right now.
Who do they play? Who do they still play outside of UAB?
Who? LSU?
LSU. What
What?
non-conference team beyond
That's it.
UAB?
That's it.
Auburn will be. I think UAB could probably beat Auburn. Auburn will be the worst team that they play the
I
rest of
wouldn't
the
be
year.
shocked. Yeah.
So next weekend's game is, of the final eight games, is the least talented team LSU will play.
I'm looking at the ESPN does their SP Plus every week. UAB is 57th in the country. Auburn. Let me look up Auburn. Auburn.
Them boys aren't even on the page. You got to keep scrolling.
No, they're here. They're here. They're here. Because SP Plus rewards these like preseason rankings and stuff. They're 40. So there you go.
Give me
Which I
UAB.
yeah,
Give me
I think
UAB.
UAB is pretty decent. But
So,
okay,
yes.
that's it. There we go. The spread is currently 6.5. It was 5.5 last night, which I tweeted out if anybody wanted to get on that. I probably won't bet on that this game just because I don't know, weird. But yeah, that's all we have for y'all today. We hope y'all enjoyed the recap podcast. 30 minutes, about as long as the first half took in the LSU New Mexico game. So we hope y'all enjoyed it. Oh, let me get my hat. There you go.
Bang.
The Bengal Tiger, $1 for an entire year. Subscribe if you haven't already. For all the great content, visitor lists, recruiting tidbits, analysis, everything. I got my Jaden Daniels prop bet right yesterday, so I'm happy, up to 2-2 on the year on my final lines picks. So there we go.
Boom.
All right, we thank y'all for joining us. Leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you're listening. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. We're climbing slowly but surely. Actually, it's pretty fast, but so we appreciate all the support on that. And yeah, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to y'all later.